You are listening to SPN, the Sports Podcasting Network.
You are listening to the MLS Postgame Show, live on SPN Radio, powered by the Sports Podcasting Network.
Wondolowski settles, drives, he scores! Wando does it again, 1-1.
Laid off left side, and the blast is in far side, and it's 1-0, and the shutout streak of the Red Bulls is over, and so is the streak of games without a goal from Marco Caballo.
Good day, good night, and welcome to the MLS Postgame Show. I am Kevin Laramie. Hope you can hear me okay. We're testing out a brand new setup as we speak. Lines are open. Right now, I can't seem to hear if there's any phone call coming, so we might be switching the setup for a second. But hopefully you like what you hear. It's the brand new way we're going to do radio and podcasting for the foreseeable future. So hopefully you like the new sound. And welcome to the MLS Postgame Show. Crazy night in Major League Soccer tonight, especially in Columbus, where the Montreal Impact battled and fought their way back to a draw. Late in extra time, Dominic Gaudreau with the equalizer to make it 4-4. Yes, you heard that correctly. 4-4 on the road for Montreal. Basically a weird type of game as well. Vancouver played earlier today a Cascadia Derby where they got themselves on top 2-1. Toronto FC, their home opener, finally in the brand new BMO Field, where it's all renovated, 30,000 people at the brand new BMO Field for a 1-0 victory over FC Dallas. Gore Houston Dynamo versus Sporting Kansas City in Houston, 2-0. Wow. Colorado Rapids are one of the best teams in the league so far this year, surprisingly, and they've proved it yet once again against Real Salt Lake. 1-0 at home in this Rocky Mountain Cup matchup. And the game that's about to finish as we speak, that just finished as we speak, Seattle Sounders versus the San Jose Earthquakes. 2-0 for Seattle in this game at home. A good win for Seattle. Siggy Schmidt desperately needed that victory. Little change of plans. If you can hear right now this show, you see there's a number. We're going to give a new number up. You can call me right now from anywhere in the continental United States at the number that I'm tweeting out as we speak. It is our studio hotline for our eventual soccer today. In a few months, but we're going to test it out tonight. Call us right now at 1-802-375-7445 for the MLS Postgame Show live on SPN Radio. I am Kevin Laramie as we speak, and SPN Radio, you're wondering what SPN Radio stands for. Well, it's the Sports Podcast and Network Radio. It's the live component of the Sports Podcast and Network. So you can give us a call right now at 1 1-800-375-7445 to talk about any team, any games that happened today. As well, there was a game last night, Sunday, Orlando versus the New York Red Bulls in Orlando, 1-1. This game and tomorrow, there's a couple games on the docket for tomorrow. LA Galaxy versus the New England Revolution, that's at 3:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, and 7:30 p.m. Eastern tonight. Well, tomorrow night, it's already past midnight, but it's going to be DC United versus New York City FC, a battle of teams that are struggling in Major League Soccer in 2016. Well, going back to the games today, the Vancouver Whitecaps versus Portland, the first game of the day that happened today, actually, Vancouver at home, they went down 1-1. First of all, the hero to go to Jack Gleason, who has been having quite the last few weeks in Major League Soccer, stopping almost everything in his path. But Jack Gleason had a couple of weird, a weird game, because he went from hero to goat with that Perez goal that went right between his leg. Masato Kudo scored his first for Vancouver in Major League Soccer. And for a 2-1 victory, a comeback victory, it's been comebacks tonight, a couple of them, Montreal and Vancouver. But for Masato Kudo, it's almost a monkey off his back, his first goal since he signed. But the game started with the pass sequence between Darlington Nagbe, Fernando Adi, and Nat Borchers, because they were just back and forth and back to the post, and then the guy back to the back post was finally open. They gave it to Nat Borchers for easy tap-in. So 1-0 for Portland. Eventually, Kudo got his goal, so it was all tied, and it led to Bolaños 6 minutes later with assist by Kudo. So, man of the match, Masato Kudo for Vancouver, probably his best performance since he has joined Vancouver this year in a Major League Soccer. Again, lines are open 1-802-375-7445. We're going to test our brand new line as well. So, as well as on top of the brand new equipment that you can hear, hopefully there's an upgrade. Hopefully it's for the right reasons and you hear me better. That's the goal. So, that's awesome. But hopefully everything is good on your end. So, the MLS post-game show, again, brought to you by the Sports Podcasting Network, the game that caught everybody's attention because of two penalties. That was just crazy. But two penalties, for one for Columbus first and then for the Montreal Impact after. Montreal Impact, after that penalty, scored a goal right away as well. Piatti with a second. Great goal by Piatti for his first as well, I have to say. Quite impressive shot from a second touch. Well, he got the ball, stopped it, turned around, and finished it. So it was very impressive on that. There was a nice tap-in pass by Drogba. That was impressive as well. I liked everything that the Montreal Impact did in this game. No, not everything, because he didn't win. But at 4-1, after the floodgates have opened, and not necessarily Evan Bush's best game, but you couldn't really blame him for half of the goals. Once the floodgates have opened, it's 4-1. We've seen the Montreal Impact team give up in those instances. We've seen the Montreal Impact team just giving the towel and trying to save energy for games after in the past with the Montreal Impact. Not tonight. They decided that they will fight and they were going to try to get back in this game. And they did. Granted, they had a favorable call by the referee that a foul on Nacho Piatti inside the box, but close to the edge of the box on the right side of the goal, if you're behind the goal, on Columbus side in the second half, got this game even closer. And then Montreal got closer with a goal right after. And eventually, in late minutes of extra time, Dominic Augiro decided to, you know what? We're in the city that they serve Papa John's. I'm probably going to have Papa John's very soon. So why not get a goal? It was an ugly goal where they battled and he finished in ball in front of a kind of open net. And he tapped it in. But it was a workhorse type of goal. And Dominic Augiro, again, scores against his former team. Earlier this season, when the Montreal Impact played the Columbus at home for their second game of the season at the Southern Olympic, he played well. He created a lot of chances but couldn't get that goal. Now this time, versus his former team in Columbus, gets one of those goals. And it's the goal that is the equalizer. So you can't say really anything bad about the performance by Dominic Augereau. Fully deserved performance. So one of the players that have impressed me the most this year with the Montreal Impact so far.
You are listening to the Sports Podcasting Network. You're a big soccer fan? ESPN is the place to be. USL Radio, NASL Nightcap, Two Solitude Soccer Podcasts, Off the Woodworks, Ours is the Fury, 2S Extra, the rest of the story. ESPN is the place to be.
You're listening to the MLS Postgame Show. I am Kevin Laramie. Lines are open. Give us a call. 1-802-375-7445 to talk about the Montreal Impact great draw on the road. Three draws in the last four games with a defeat against Toronto. Not the best of results, not the most amount of points, but they're keeping themselves in the standings. Call me to talk about Vancouver's win against a Cascadia rival. It's a rival after all. And Vancouver got that comeback victory. Second goal. Masarukudo, one goal, one assist. Now moving on to Toronto FC. The new stadium, BMO Field, made its debut this week. We've talked about it from A to Z with Dwayne Rollins and Rudy Schuler this week on the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast and 2S Extra. And Soccer Today, by the way, as well as debuted this week, last Wednesday, first show. This Wednesday as well at noon p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, will be probably, for sure now, the second edition of Soccer Today with yours truly and Dwayne Rollins with the brand new setup with two phone lines, text message, emails, hashtags. Interaction is just starting, people. And next Wednesday, it's already the evolution of Soccer Today in a way that you will notice the great sound difference, the great quality difference that we have made. Well, I was going to say recently, but it's today. I just bought into some purchases when I went into the music store today. So your ears are the beneficiary. And by the way, to help support the network, to make sure that all the partners, to make sure that all the contributors to the network have the same quality of audio, so we can bring you sports radio, high quality sports radio, where you are, wherever you are, direct to you. So go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/sports podcasting network. $1 a month, $2 a month, everything, any amount helps. Give us a hand to help us grow and support this beautiful venture that is the Sports Podcasting Network. Again, you are listening to the MLS Post Game Show. I'm Kevin Laramie, and this is SBN Radio. Lines are open. 1-802-375-7445. Skype line as well. Join us on Skype. Off the Woodworks is our Skype line. So you're always welcome to call in and let us know your thoughts on today's game. Hopefully it's something that you enjoyed. A lot of goals scored today. So let's go to this new BMO Field. Dallas battled hard, but Toronto wanted to win this game. And Tsubasa Endo, yes, you would have thought maybe an Altidore or maybe a Sebastian Giovinco, which he had the decisive pass on Tsubasa Endo's goal. But Altidore has been struggling a little bit this year. He worked hard. He really, this game deserved more. He deserved the goal, especially late on, but never got that second go away goal. And it was a scare almost for the Toronto fans because, well, there's always that TFC PTSD that we always talk about, that when it gets to Tobias time late in the game, if they're only up by one, you always expect almost at this point the other team to score a goal and the other team to achieve a result at the new BMO Field. But this didn't happen. They were able to hold on. That's probably because of their new defensive mentality in 2016 that they conceded a lot less goals than last year. They scored a lot less as well. but they conceded a lot less. And if you look at the standings, we will a little later on this show, well, Montreal Impact and Toronto FC are not dominating. There's nobody dominating the Eastern Conference as we speak. Nobody's running away with it. And Montreal had the chance, but over the last three games, they only could get the 1 point. So imagine if those were victories over the last three games, how Montreal would have actually probably gone around run away with it. But now that Toronto got another victory, they're actually behind Montreal very closely. They're breathing down their necks. And Montreal's going to have to battle hard to continue to get those points. We're back to, it's been more than a month since the last football. 3 weeks, a little bit more than 3 weeks since the last victory for the Montreal Impact. It's kind of been a while, but at least those draws are keeping Montreal on top of the Eastern Conference. But going back to Toronto, at their new home, did you like the look of the new BMO Field? Did you like that type of arch-supported, that look almost like CenturyLink Field, the roofs? Did you like them? Did you like the experience? Were you at the game tonight at the brand new BMO Field? If you were, give us a call right now, 1-802-375-7445. Talk about your experience at the brand new BMO Field. How was it? Was it really louder? Was it really better than it was before? On TV, surely, the look is a lot different, especially when the cameras are in the end, there's no filming the rest of the three sides of the stadium. Looks awesome. Looks like a European type of stadium. But when you see that end zone that's all open and unfinished, it gives a different look to that stadium. So depending on the angle of this stadium, it has a very different look. And yeah, so that's one thing that were the concerns. We'll see what people say about their experience at the new BMO Field. What was your experience? What was your passion for this game? Did you enjoy? Was it worth it? And are you still worried that the Argos are coming soon? 1-802-375-7445. Give us a call and talk about your experience today watching the games. It was, for me, a great, weird type of day, because type of results that we expected from teams did happen, but it's the slide is continuing for Kansas City against Houston, and Kansas City another loss, and I'm kind of disappointed by Kansas City. If you are a follower of the Two Salty Soccer podcast, I will bring you back to the beginning of this season, where I predicted that Kansas City would be the best team in the league at the end of the season, winning the MLS Cup. Right now, early May, yes, very early still, I know. But as we speak, I cannot say that it's looking good for Kansas City. It did earlier on, but something happened, and then it started to slip. So Houston got the full measure for this game, got the full results. Good for them. Let's go talk about the standings for a second. Standings in the Eastern Conference. Still on top of the Eastern Conference with 15 points in 1.5 points per game average in 10 games played. 4 wins, 3 defeats, 3 draws. What interesting is goals for 17, goals against 15, which is third worst. Actually, second one. Third worst in the Eastern Conference. Goals against of 15 for a differential of 2. That's where it's dangerous for Montreal Impact. The defensive woes continues. Now that it's costing them games, it's costing them points, yes, but it's costing them maybe in the long run that differential. Yeah, there's no team that's running away with it, and the differential of 2 is still the second best in the Eastern Conference, even though it's third worst for the goals against. But that being said, Montreal Impact, first in the Eastern Conference, 15 points, followed by Toronto FC with 14 points in 9 games played, 1 game in hand. 1.56 is the points per game. They would be second in the Eastern Conference if PPG was reality. We have our first caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Philadelphia, and your switchboard operator changed the number in the middle of the show.
Yes, exactly. Well, Jonathan, how are you doing tonight? We have a brand new system, and this is my actual personal line. So how was your game today, Jonathan?
I watched like 7 Sox games today, so...
What did you think about that 4-4 crazy game in Columbus tonight?
Well, I think that Kai Kamara's got to stop running his mouth.
Yeah, but at least
did you see what he said after the game?
No, I didn't. I missed it.
I tell you, listeners should go on Twitter to Sean Mitchell of the Columbus Dispatch, who's the beat writer for the newspaper in Columbus. He talked with Kai Kamara after the game, and Kamara went off on a huge rant about Federico Higuain taking the ball away from him when he was going to score the penalty kick to complete his hat trick. And
wow.
Kamara was very angry, and there's a lot of hints of him and Higuain not getting along, and it's problems. It's a lot of problems.
Could that be one of the reasons why their beginning of season was such a lackluster beginning of season, having only barely amounted any points this season so far? Could that be the result of maybe a conflict of personalities between Higuain and Kai Kamara?
I don't know. They sure played well last year. So I don't know what happened to change it, but it's not good, and Greg Berhalter's got to do something about it.
No, absolutely, because if you look statistically, before today's game, Iga last year, Kai Kamara had 22 goals in the entire season. So far, he had 3 before tonight. Granted, it's 5 now. But Montreal Impact, they fought back and got that draw against Columbus at home. Did you have a sense, watching that game like I did, that Montreal wouldn't lay down? And at 4-1, I didn't see them quit. I actually saw them pick up their sleeves and try to work harder.
Well, I think it's a testament to a lot of things. One, Didier Drogba and Mauricio Piatti are really good. And two, Marbiol is a good coach. You know, he knows how to push the right buttons with these guys. He knows how to install the right kind of mentality. And, you know, eventually these draws pay off. You know, sometimes they don't if you have too many of them, but I think in the end, they'll end up fine. And as long as they're still out of close to the top of the East, I mean, you're looking at Philadelphia's coming in there next weekend, and I'm coming up for the game. It's either going to be, you know, Montreal in first and Philly in third, or Montreal in second and Philly in first. And I can't see how the Union, even if they come into there in first place, would be favored to win that game. So.
Now, you mentioned Nacho.
I wouldn't be too worried about it.
No, exactly. After Kai Kamara scored the opening goal in this game, Nacho Piatti, just a few minutes later, after a very intelligent but small tap-in pass by Drogba, who saw Piatti open in the box, one touch, he was at the back of the net. And a second later, he turned around and curled the ball around Steve Clark. How impressive is Nacho Piatti? Did you...
Fabulous.
I know, right? And he seems to have dialed into another level this year. Even though it took him a while to start the last 3 weeks, he's been probably MVP type in this league.
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, you hope that I go over when I'm in town, I go over to Jerry Park and I watch all the kids, you know, playing soccer or whatever. That's the kind of move you spend an hour and a half in your backyard trying to figure out how to do, right? I think having Harry Shipp on the field at the same time has taken some of the burden off of Piatti to do everything.
It makes a lot of sense because Harry Shipp maybe takes the defensive responsibilities that Piatti would maybe think he has totally away from him.
Well, I think it's some of that. I think it's also spacing out the other guy's defense and giving Piatti more room to operate.
True. Yeah, absolutely. With Drogba having that tendency to draw one more defender towards him too really created more space for Piatti over the last few weeks.
That's right. I think that's absolutely right.
Now, one more question, Jonathan. Tonight, the new BMO Field, the opening was today. What did you think about the new stadium?
Granted, some of it might have been how TSN laid out its microphones. They did a very good job picking up the crowd noise. But that was the kind of atmosphere and the kind of buzz in Toronto that reminded people like me who've watched this league for a long time of why we were all jealous of Toronto when they first came in the league.
No, yeah.
And,
you're right.
You know, I know people who are in the supporter section of the stadium are complaining that the roof really isn't going to shut out the elements that much, and they're probably right. You know, ultimately, BMO Field is not a really nice hockey arena. You know?
Well, no, that's December. January 1st, actually.
And I'll be interested to see after that what they do. You know, they're not gonna leave the 5,000 extra seats up, obviously. But do they figure out some way to, I don't know, like do something that makes it more than just a canopy or whatever, you know? Maybe not. I don't know. It's a great atmosphere. If the team's winning, I don't think people are gonna care that much about getting rained on. The only problem really is going to be that you're still going to have the wind blowing in off the lake because there's so much space between that overhang and the seating bowl. But other than that, it looks great.
There is a lot of space. When you look at the standings right now, if you just take care of the points per game aspect of it, the Philadelphia Union would be top of the East. Are Philly the Leicester of the MLS, Jonathan?
Oh, God.
Because let's face it, the scenario of the team that's unexpected on top of the league at the beginning, can they maintain that position like Leicester did?
I mean, I suppose that relative to money-wise, sort of, because they're not the richest team. I think Colorado might be a better example of that.
True.
Philadelphia is a huge market. Its team is not one of the wealthiest, so it doesn't play like a big market team. But if they keep being good and finally make the playoffs this year, I think you're going to see a set the ball get rolling. Look, ultimately, I've said for years, there's no reason why Philadelphia can't do what Kansas City has done, for example, except for limitations in its own mind. And if a big market team, even when without a ton of money, becomes as successful on the field as Kansas City has been, they're going to be the highest thing in Major League Soccer.
Jonathan, what is the one surprise what is the one result or one match that surprised you today in Major League Soccer before I let you go?
Today? Result that surprised me today.
Seattle winning at home finally this year, having a good result in their season.
Yeah, no, that never surprises. Seattle should win at home. Montreal Columbus is probably the most surprising result of the day.
I think
Colorado beat ISL. Colorado won at home. Vancouver won at home. Toronto won at home. Houston won at home. So I'd have to say Montreal coming from behind.
All right. Jonathan Tannenwald of Philly.com, thank you very much for joining us tonight on the MLS.
By the way, you're like this. Before the kid in Pittsburgh who kicked Carl we met in the back, which was ridiculous, before that happened, this was a night for bad tempers, by the way.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it, yeah? Was it a full moon tonight?
Pardon?
I think it was a full moon tonight.
Might have been. Down in Washington. Tobin Heath, the U.S. women's team star, committed a foul, got called for it, spiked the ball on the ground, and got a yellow card. It was her second yellow card of the game. She got set off. The game that she will miss, she plays for the Portland Thorns. The game that she will miss is at Seattle next weekend, which is the biggest rivalry in the women's league.
Oh, wow. Bad tempers. And like you mentioned, Kai Kamara. We'll keep an eye on the Kai Kamara situation because very interesting that you mentioned his comments. Can you just mention them again to our listeners or just join us?
Yeah, but I'm not going to go back through every word of them chapter and verse because there were a lot. But the guy to go read is Sean Mitchell of the Columbus Dispatch. His Twitter handle is SMITCHCD. And if you go, I mean, there's a whole bunch of us around who are journalists around the league who've been retweeting his stuff tonight, and it's pretty bad.
Wow. So interesting state of the Columbus Crew right now with a lackluster beginning of the season. Greg Berhalter is asking questions, and his players have answered with goals tonight, but conceded goals as well. Jonathan Tanwell, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
I'll see you next weekend.
Absolutely. Live together.
Well, we're going to try.
All right. We thank Jonathan once again for giving us a call. Lines are open. 1-802-375-7445. Now, Jonathan mentioned that today there was a lot of home team winning. And yeah, there's a lot of home team winning today. And it's maybe the beginning of the norm coming back to this league after this hot start that a lot of teams got results on the road. Now it might be back to normal. We mentioned Philly Union. Again, they're third in the Eastern Conference, fourth in the Eastern Conference with 11 points, 1.22 points per game, to make sure that we keep an eye on the fact that not all teams have played the same amount of games. Example, Chicago, bottom dwellers, three games in hand against Montreal. Yeah, they have to win those games and get those points. But right now, Montreal's still first. 11 points against for Orlando in fourth position in the Eastern Conference. The last two spots for the playoff right now, Red Bulls, they already climbed out of their hole that they were at the beginning of the season. Red Bulls fifth right now in the Eastern Conference with 10 points. That's why I think the tempers flared in Columbus tonight, because they were at 8 points before the game today. And if they would have had a result at home, they would have climbed all the way back to fourth spot in the Eastern Conference with 11 points tied with Orlando. With a worse differential, probably, yes. They would have been fifth because of that, but they would have been in the thick of things and in the fight for a playoff spot, and that gap would have been only reduced to a handful of points behind Montreal and Toronto. Now, yeah, it's still a handful of points, you're going to say. It's five for Toronto and six differential to Montreal, but the Leafs are going to continue to go. And that gap is going to probably be maintained. So it was an opportunity miss for Columbus, and we'll keep an eye on the Kai Kamara and Higuain relationship, because if you can read between the line, and again, we invite you to check the link that Jonathan talked about just a few seconds ago. Kai Kamara not happy that Federico Higuain took the ball and scored that penalty and didn't let him get his hat trick in this game, which tells you a lot because, he didn't have the same goal tally as last year, same date. And it probably getting to Kai Kamara. And today he saw the opportunity of having three goals and he scored two. Moving on to the Western Conference standings after today's game. We mentioned again that today's games were very close, except the Montreal-Columbus game. Tomorrow, two great games with not a lot of implication in the standings in the Western Conference. But in the East, it can, because it's LA versus New England, DC versus New York City FC. All teams, well, the three teams of the Eastern Conference in those two games, to have a better start. What to finally get on the right side of that column. If it goals or W's, that's what they need. And, well, it's not going to be easy for New England. They got Galaxy. But at least you can say that at least out of DC and New York City FC, there might be a winner. But the way the season of both teams are going, a nil-nil draw might be what's going on tomorrow. So let's talk about the standings in the Western Conference. Again, lines are open. 1-802-375-7445. You can give me a call and talk about your favorite game today in Major League Soccer. Or if you want to talk Leicester, it's been a week now, but you know, why not? Colorado Rapids, first in the Eastern Conference, first in the league right now. Colorado Rapids are leading this Supporters' Shield race. And yeah, you're going to think, if Montreal were in the West, they would be sixth. But they're in the East, so they're first. So Colorado, 20 points with an average of 2 per game. That is massive. That is huge. 10 games played, 6 wins, 2 defeats. Real Salt Lake in second position in the Western Conference with 17 points. 1.89 points per game with 9 games played. FC Dallas, third in the Western Conference, 17 points, 1.55 points per game average, 11 games played. And Dallas had a couple of ratings, not tonight, but last week, the week before, and the week before. So, well, it was a few weeks before. It was Houston, and then there was a a 3-0 loss and another 2-0 loss. And Dallas, if you look at the differential of Dallas, they got 15 goals for and 18 goals against. Even though they're in third position in the Western Conference, they have a differential of -3 right now. Team that's been touted and basically one of the favorite teams for all the pundits that talk about, oh, an academy products, a lot of young kids. Well, this year, the sophomore slump has hit really hard defensively. And that's what we're seeing with Dallas as we speak. LA Galaxy are coming into their own with probably their best performance in a long time last week. Now this week, 15 points. They're playing tomorrow against New England at home. Expect a great performance by the Galaxy. An afternoon game, noon game basically for the Galaxy at home. So that will be very positive for them. I expect them to get a great result. They finally seem to have found a way to include Gerard in the run of play to see them be effective with this club. So interesting game tomorrow for the Galaxy versus New England, a game that's up for the taking and might be ugly for the Galaxy in the positive way for the LA fans. 15 points, 1.88 points per game average. They only have 8 games played. They would be third in the Eastern Conference if all things were equal. But their differential is 10. That's where the Galaxy is, well, different than all the other team goals for. 8 goals against. The floodgates have opened recently, especially that 5-0 against Dallas, I think, or 5-1. They all blend in now, but the Galaxy have scored a lot of goals, even though they weren't firing on all cylinders. So the Galaxy could be more dangerous than we think this year. And if they continue on their run, might be dangerous. San Jose Earthquakes, they're back in the positive aspect of that red line. 15 points, 1.5 points per game, 10 games played. Not a bad start for the Quakes, better than expected. But the Quakes are going to be battling for a playoff spot all along the season, I expect, because teams like Vancouver, Seattle, and Portland that are right now below that red line will start to amount enough points to climb over the red line. And teams like Kansas City, if the slide continues, they will find themselves behind that said red line. Sporting Kansas City, 14 points, 6 position, last spot right now to give a in the Western Conference. 14 points again, 1.27 points per game, 11 games played. A lot of games played by Kansas City, FC Dallas, and the Rapids, you could say. But same for the Whitecaps. Whitecaps, 11 games played, only 14 points to show for. For a team that was expected to be battling for a supporter shield or the top of the West in 2016. Yeah, it was a great victory tonight, 2-1 at home, come back from a 1-0, come back from a hole. A 1-0 hole. They were at home against a Borchers goal. Masato Kudo scored his first for Vancouver, and then decisive pass for the second goal scored by Bolaños for Vancouver to win at home. But 11 games played, 4 wins, 5 losses, and 2 draws for 14 goals for, 16 goals against for a differential of -2. The away record of 1-4-0. Not too bad. They got a victory on the road, but that's where they missed their opportunity. At home, they're 3-1-2. So you could say that those two losses at home are to Montreal, especially to start the season, weigh heavily in the results of the Whitecaps still right now. Seattle, 13 points. Great victory at home tonight, 2-0 against the Quake for Seattle. They needed that victory. They need a positive moving forward for Siggy to not stay on that hot seat because rumblings were starting. People were starting to talk. Does Siggy still have it? Can Siggy still cut it? Can Siggy bring this team that was close or also close to Los Lobos Martins, but can they rebuild or continue to be strong and bring this team and continue to make it a contender? At least a nice victory put them closer, at least only 1 point off that said red line, but in the 8th position in the Western Conference with 13 points. Portland, the defending champion, 9th in the Western Conference, 12 points for a 1.2 points per game average. 10 games played. It's going to get better in Portland. Things will get back on road. But not for Houston. Even though Houston won tonight at home, Houston, 8 points after 9 games played for a lackluster, and I do believe worst in the league, indeed, of the points per game for Houston of 0.89, which is awful. awful. That would explain their position, which is bottom of the league. They're in the Chicago Fire territory, but they have more games played than Chicago Fire. Chicago Fire, again, only 7 points. 7 points only for Chicago in 2016 so far. But Houston barely has only one more points, but they got two games more played. So that wraps up standing stock here on the MLS Post Game Show. We're going to wrap it up real soon, but before we do, last call for the phone lines, 1-802-375-7445. Our studio hotline. By the way, I'm Kevin Laramie. You can find this show on podcast form on the Sports Podcasting Network. So look for Sports Podcasting Network or SPN Soccer Feed to find your soccer shows of the network on iTunes, Stitcher, FeedBurner, PodBay Player, wherever you like. You can find the show. And you can find other sports shows as well on the network, like Hardwood Radio, Gridiron Radio, and all those shows. So go to sportspodcastingnetwork.com for more. The music on the Sports Podcasting Network is courtesy of St. Clair. Get their EP Moving on stclair.bandcamp.com.
My old man thinks poetry's for sissies.
To make things clear, I do not think that poetry's for sissies. I kind of like to play with words in my own silly and very bad type of way. MLS Post Game Show here live on SPN Radio. You can give us a call right now, 1-802-375-7445, to give us your thoughts on the Major League Soccer today, on the Montreal Impact 4-4 draw in Columbus, about the drama in Columbus, Higuain, Kamara not seeing eye to eye, Kamara being really angry that Higuain took the ball for his third goal, would have been the penalty. Higuain did it. In this game, by the way, two goals for Higuain, two goals for Kamara. For Montreal, a brace for Piatti. World class. Both of them. First one really, really world class, a tying goal. Few minutes only after the go-ahead goal by Columbus. And as well, you had the second goal by Piatti, which he was coming on the far side, the right side, and was able to bury it past Steve Clark. And yeah, you have that Drogba penalty and Arturo to score late in extra time for Montreal Impact to get that beautiful and most deserved draw on the road. You know, those three draws in a row that Montreal Impact just did, I think in prior years, those would have probably been defeats. Maybe not last year with Drogba's presence, but the year before was the type of game that were close, but Montreal didn't get the results they would have loved. But this year, even though it's no victories, and it's still three draws in a row, New York City, last week against Colorado, and tonight against Columbus, it's all draws that they came back to get that draw. Oh, that's false. Colorado got the equalizer twice. But against New York, they come back victory. Well, come back draw. And tonight against Columbus, come back draw. So this team is showing some character, some grit, some toughness. Toronto, after going back home after a long stint on the road, 8 games on the road to be precise, they come back home and they get that 3 points. Just 1 point behind Montreal. And if we go back to a few weeks ago, a lot of people were talking about how, well, the two best teams in the Eastern Conference right now are Montreal and Toronto. I would include Philly in that top three right now. We'll see where it goes in a few weeks from now or maybe next Saturday. By the way, next Saturday is the next home game for the Montreal Impact versus the Philly Union. Get your tickets at impactmontreal.com if you are in the Montreal region. And stay tuned to the Sports Podcasting Network for a more in-depth analysis of the 4-4 draw that happened today on Off the Woodworks that would be coming out Sunday, so tomorrow. You can visit us on the sportspodcastingnetwork.com pages. You can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Feedburner, Podbay Player. Look for Sports Podcasting Network, for SPN Soccer, or for SPN Radio. You can follow me on Twitter at Kev Larame. That's at KevLarameme. Or Facebook, Kevin Larame. And until next time, which is tomorrow for Off the Woodworks, well, have a great soccer. You were listening to SPN, the Sports Podcasting Network. Visit us, sportspodcastingnetwork.com.